Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Results matter for MC Board Member Green by Stuart Doreen. Will Green believes Midland College leadership has been effective during his time on the board and is asking voters for another 6 years to represent them. Green is one of three people on the ballot of Midland College, place 7. The others are Adrian Carrasco and R. Sean Rainey. Midland College's seats are at-large positions, so a person can run for any seat, and all eligible voters within the college district vote on each place. The election is set for November 3rd. Early voting begins October 19th. Green, who has been on the board since 1996, told the Reporter-Telegram recently that he's never had an opponent. Green, a retired geologist, said he is a strong proponent of education at all levels and has 3 college degrees, 2 from Texas A&M and another from the University of Texas at Austin. Highlights of his last 15 years on the board include the overwhelming passage of a $41.8 million bond for campus improvements, dedication of the Fox Science Building, acquisitions of the Petroleum Professional Development Center in downtown Midland, creation of early college high school at Midland College, approval of a new baccalaureate degree, a Bachelor of Applied Sciences in Health Services Management, and the Concho Texas A&M Engineering Academy at Midland College. Other partnerships with Midland ISD include one for dual credit career and technology courses and the establishing of a pre-kindergarten program. I have seen a lot of changes and helped participate in a lot of those changes, Green said. Education is key to people being able to have a better life. I've always been very impressed with Midland College and the way the administration takes care of business. Green said everyone on the board has an opportunity to express their opinions on any issue. There were never any huge disagreements we couldn't resolve, he said. Green said that experience tells him projects are sure to come up, such as the Frank and June Cowden Dining Hall that opened last month. We have things that come up all the time. MPD shares interview with officer injured in mass shooting from staff reports. The Midland Police Department has shared a video interview with Officer Zach Owens on the one-year anniversary of the Odessa mass shooting. Owens speaks about his road to recovery and the community support he received after he was shot and injured while confronting the Odessa mass shooter on August 31st, 2019. Police Chief Seth Herman told the Reporter-Telegram ahead of the one-year anniversary that Owens was the first officer to confront the shooter, 36-year-old Seth Ator, outside Synergy. The shooter had switched vehicles and had taken a mail delivery vehicle through his travels through the city of Odessa. Owens lost his left eye, has immobility in his left hand, and had muscle and tissue damage in his right arm. Through fortitude and perseverance, Officer Owens has recovered physically to fulfill the duties as a SWAT officer and canine handler, Herman said on a post to the community on MPD's Facebook page. To view the complete interview, visit MPD's Facebook page.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Tuesday, September 1, 2020. New housing. New home construction as seen August 22 in a new development in Northeast Midland. The new development is off Tin Trail, east of the 6600 block of North Fairgrounds Road. A community park already is in place off Carriage Road. Hogg to meet with residents. Midland Hispanic Chamber of Commerce is hosting John Mark Hogg for a meet and greet 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. today at Gerardo's Casita, 2407 North Big Spring Street. Hogg is the Democratic candidate for Texas's 11th Congressional District. Attendance is limited because of the state's COVID-19 restrictions. To RSVP, bit.ly/2QIPAPP. Gifts of Hope needs volunteers. These select area volunteer opportunities and events are provided by MSS Connections, a program of MSS made possible by the Warren Charitable Foundation. For more information, visit mssconnections.org. Gifts of Hope needs volunteers for the 14th Annual Victory Run and Walk on September 19. The event, which will be benefiting Permian Basin cancer patients, is part of the Midland Rockhounds Cancer Awareness Weekend. contact Rachel DeLeonardo at 520-2255 or RDILEONARDO at MidlandRockHounds.org. The Field's Edge is looking for volunteers to provide people with rides to work or rides from work. First-time volunteers need to sign up for a training shift. Contact Laura at info@thefieldsedge.org. Help make wishes come true with Make-A-Wish North Texas Virtual Opportunity. A wish granter is needed to help make wishes come true for Midland children battling life-threatening medical conditions. Contact the Volunteer Services team at 214-496-9474 or volunteer at ntx.wish.org. Permian Basin Adult Literacy Center is hosting Legal Literacy Live Streams 10 a.m. Tuesdays in September via Facebook Live. Check out PBAC's Facebook page for more details on the upcoming guests for these streams, facebook.com/PB Adult Literacy Center. Firefighters launch virtual Fill the Boot. The International Association of Firefighters and Professional Firefighters Association of Midland, Local 4405, have launched a virtual Fill the Boot, which will take the place of the annual in-person campaign for the Muscular Dystrophy Association. Instead of placing donations in boots held up by Midland firefighters at intersections across Midland, residents can donate at filltheboot.donordrive.com/participant/Midland. The virtual campaign continues through the end of the year, said Greg Wells with Midland Local 4405. Their goal is $5,000, according to the website. When it's open, Midland County Public Library, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, curbside pickup at Downtown Branch, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. Health Department is providing services. The Midland Health Department is providing clinical services by appointment only. Appointments will be scheduled from 8:15 a.m. to 3:45 p.m. Monday through Friday. In addition, the Health Department will have immunization clinics 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. September 12 and 8:15 a.m. to 6 p.m. September 21. Appointments are required for immunizations. To schedule an appointment, call 681-7613. City watering schedule. The City of Midland has adjusted the watering schedule from 2 days a week to 4 days a week. Even-numbered addresses can water on Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Odd-numbered addresses can water on Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. The Utilities Department says residents should not overwater the lawn and should watch for puddles or runoff from sprinklers. Today in History. Today's Wednesday, September 2, the 246th day of 2020. There are 120 days left in the year. On this date, in 1901, Vice President Theodore Roosevelt offered the advice, "Speak softly and carry a big stick," in a speech at the Minnesota State Fair. In 1944, during World War II, Navy pilot Lieutenant George Herbert Walker Bush was shot down by Japanese forces as he completed a bombing run over the Bonin Islands. Bush was rescued by the crew of the submarine USS Finback. His two crew members died.
Obituaries and death notices for September 1st, 2020. Barbara Juanita Mizzles. Barbara Juanita Mizzles, 86, of Midland, went to be with the Lord and her beloved husband Bill on August 28, 2020. She passed due to complications of surgery at Parkland Hospital in Dallas. She is survived by daughters Ann Burke and husband Gary of Gainesville, Texas, Vicki Folkers of Odessa, Texas, and Elaine Sarah Ette of Midland, Texas, sons Ronnie Mizzles and Steve Mizzles, and wife Dana, all of Midland. The family will receive friends at Ellis Funeral Home, 801 Andrews Highway, Tuesday, September 1st, between 6 and 8 p.m. Funeral services are scheduled for 10 a.m. Wednesday, September 2nd, at the Wilshire Park Baptist Church at 801 South Bentwood in Midland, Texas. Arrangements are under the direction of Ellis Funeral Home. Eleanor Lewis, 91, of Midland, passed away August 29, 2020. Services are pending with Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Zachary Lewis Hernandez. Zachary Lewis Hernandez, 26, of Midland, passed away August 29, 2020. The family will receive guests from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Thursday, September 3, 2020, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home in Midland. Funeral services will be held at 2 p.m. Friday, September 4th, 2020, at Sovereign Grace Church, with burial following at Serenity Memorial Gardens and Cemetery. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, September 1st, 2020. Front page. Solemn Service Remembers Victims by Tony Venegas, T-V-E-N-E-G-A-S at OAOA.com. Photo. People gather in the sanctuary of the First United Methodist Church in downtown Odessa Monday afternoon for a community service held in remembrance of those killed and injured during the mass shooting in Odessa, August 31st, 2019. The service was also live-streamed for those wanting to practice social distancing. Ben Powell, Odessa American. On the one-year anniversary of the mass shooting in Odessa, First United Methodist Church Senior Pastor Jay Armstrong wanted to make sure that there was a way for people to come together, in person or otherwise. The church hosted a community memorial service filled with prayers and music in downtown Odessa Monday that was streamed online and had a small crowd of in-person attendees. The service reflected on the August 31st, 2019 mass shooting that left 7 dead and injured 25 others, and how the community can come together and heal from that tragedy. "I wanted to give kind of a gift to the community," Armstrong said following the service. "We have a lot of musical resources in the church, and I really think that music has that opportunity to heal. It carries both our joys and sorrows at the same time, and hopefully it leaves us with a sense of hope as well at the end." On page 3, we see two more photos. From left, Eva Lee Davison, Cindy McGrahan, June Davison, and Mason Friels pray together in the sculpture garden at Memorial Gardens Park on Monday afternoon during the moment of silence for the victims of the mass shooting on August 31st, 2019, in Odessa. During the shooting, McGrahan was evacuated from the Synergy Movie Theater, where the gunman was shot and killed. Flowers adorned the bases of the flags with victims' names at Memorial Gardens Park on Monday afternoon. 7 flags were erected by the city of Odessa in honor of those who lost their lives during the devastating event that took place in Odessa on August 31st, 2019. That message of hope was the prevailing theme from the prayers spoken by Armstrong, along with Reverend Karen Carlson and Reverend Michael Shelton of Pilgrim Rest Missionary Baptist Church, who joined them for the service. In her opening prayer, Carlson called for people to find the strength to come together amid the tragic events from a year ago. Her remarks were also followed by a prayer from Odessa City Councilwoman Peggy Dean and a piano piece played by Reverend Samuel Boole of St. James Baptist Church. "Will we be ever the same? No. Will we move forward? Absolutely, by God's strength, and that's where Odessa Strong comes in," Carlson said during her opening prayer. "We have a divine strength that comes from God. It is remembering the 32 victims, yet it's also remembering the strength of our community and what happens when we come together." Carlson also recalled her time meeting with the family of Leila Hernandez, the 15-year-old student from Odessa High School who died in the shooting. Leila's brother was also injured in the shooting. She said that she was there with the family at Medical Center Hospital as she was treated, and her message was to remember those who died and care for each other. "We've all been impacted," Carlson said. "Today, may we remember how God has carried us and will continue to carry us through. That is the glory of God's story." Carlson then lit candles placed in front of the church, and Armstrong read the names of each of the 7 victims who died followed by a single bell toll after each name was spoken. As part of his prayer, Armstrong said, "Let them be for us a rallying cry to work for peace and to reject hate, to love our neighbors as ourselves, and to tear down any barriers that keep us from that hope." David Corman, the musical director at First United Methodist, sang the Lord's Prayer and led choir members at the conclusion of the service, singing, "The Majesty and Glory of Your Name." He was also joined by his wife, Kimberly, his 14-year-old daughter, Grace, and son, Jacob. Corman echoed that message of peace and healing to a community that needed it more than ever. Outside of ourselves, in our hour of prayer, music and prayer, we want to say that we don't believe in violence, Corman said. We're going to go another way. We're going to preach peace, love, kindness, bravery, and courage in the face of such things, and nothing can tear that out of hearts. He also recalled performing in New York City following the September 11th terrorist attacks at the Lincoln Center, and said that unimportant things get pulled away when tragic events happen like that. He said that music has that ability to bring people together and hopes that everyone, whether in person or virtually, can find that connection with one another. "We believe that as singers we are instruments in the light of God," he said. "That's our wish, our desire, and our duty in the world to not be afraid. No matter what we look like, love conquers all." The message of love and healing was further echoed by Grace Corman. "It was one of the most horrible days to happen to this town," she said. "If you forget history, you'll never learn from it, and you can't move forward from it. It's good to know that you can learn from it. You can show others love as you go in life." Moment of silence. Firefighters at Odessa's Central Fire Station gathered together in front of their fire apparatus Monday afternoon to observe 32 seconds of silence. Fire stations across the city pulled their fire trucks and ambulances out of the station with their lights on for 32 seconds of silence as Odessa sees the one-year anniversary of the August 31st mass shooting that injured 32 people. Ben Powell, Odessa American. Odessans gather for Moment of Silence by Royal McGregor, RMCGREGOR at OAOA.com. Before the city of Odessa held its moment of silence to remember the 32 people who were killed and injured in last year's mass shooting, the quartet of June Davison, Cindy McRahan, Eva Lee Davison, and Mason Friels joined hands in prayer. The group prayed just before 3 p.m. Monday afternoon at Memorial Gardens. McRahan talked about the events she experienced a year ago, as she was one of the people evacuated from Synergy Theater. She said it's important to remember the countless families that were affected by the mass shooting. "I feel like it's a privilege to come back and be able to share in prayer," McRahan said. "To be able to pray for the people who lost loved ones and more or less be there for them whether they know we are or not." McRahan explained that she and her husband and her granddaughter were evacuated from the movie theater. They heard gunshots as they were walking toward their vehicle in the parking lot. The gunshots McRahan heard were multiple law enforcement agencies shooting and killing 36-year-old gunman Seth Aaron Ator. McRahan said where she and her family were on the opposite end of the building where the gunfire took place. "We walked over to Bahama Bucks, and they let us in the back, and that's where we stayed," McRahan said. At Memorial Gardens, the city of Odessa put up yellow flags that detailed with Odessa's strong. Tryon Stevenson, 30, walked around the park and said he came to pay his respects. He explained that he could have easily been traveling on the roadways that Ator was rampaging through as he killed 7 people and injured 25 others with an AR-style rifle that he obtained through a private seller. "It's eye-opening," Stevenson said. "It makes you want to sit down and appreciate life. You never know how much of it is guaranteed." More than 20 employees of the Southwest Bank branch near the intersection of 42nd Street and JBS Parkway gathered outside the building for prayer and the 32 seconds of silence. Dewey Bryant, CEO of Southwest Bank and District 2 council member, said the mass shooting continues to affect many Odessans, and he hopes the community can continue to heal those wounds. "There are things that you continue to remember," Bryant said. "We had a horrible event a year ago. Those things will always be part of your mind, and I hope so, because they help us reflect as we move forward and become stronger as a community." Rotary Treats First Responders by Michael Bauer, MBAUER at OAOA.com. Photo. After putting some potato salad on his plate, volunteer Brandy Henderson takes a moment to chat with City of Odessa firefighter Johnson Nguyen Monday morning during the first responder lunch at Odessa's Central Fire Station. Ben Powell, Odessa American. Showing support for what first responders had to go through during last year's tragedy, the Odessa Rotary Club put on an appreciation lunch Monday at Central Fire Station. The event served as part of a commemoration on a day that marked 1 year since the August 31st mass shooting in Odessa and Midland, where 7 people lost their lives and 25 were injured. "We decided that we wanted to do something special for the first responders," Rotary Club member Rodney Hertz said. "We wanted to do something nice for the first responders and everything they've gone through." Hurt added that it wasn't just a token of appreciation for what the first responders had to endure during last year's shooting, but for continuing to put their lives on the line every day, especially with the COVID-19 pandemic going on. Rotary Club members served the first responders that included a sliced brisket sandwich, some beans, potato salad, a cookie, and some water. Odessa Rotary Club President Jeff Voltz said the idea to do something special for the first responders came together pretty fast. "It was about a weekend half of planning," Voltz said. "Some of our Rotary members decided that we had to do something to recognize those who had to respond to the events of that day. We have a bunch of guys who love to cook, so it was the obvious thing to do. We wanted to feed the first responders. We originally were going to do it on Grant Street over by the Bull statue, but the city said that there were better locations, so they asked us to move it here to the fire station." Odessa Rotary Club member Gus Ortega was one of the cooks. "I think it's so important to do this," Ortega said. "The tragedy last year was something we didn't expect, and lives were lost. It affected the whole community, and our first responders were there on the scene, so we wanted to give something back to the first responders, not just for what they did last year, but for what they do every day." According to Hurt, about a dozen or so members of the Odessa Rotary Club came out on Monday to help. The Odessa Rotary Club's gesture did not go unnoticed by the first responders. "It's been nice to see how the entire community has come together," Odessa Police Department Corporal PIO Steve LeSueur said. "It's not just the first responders, but everyone. We've had an uproar of support from everyone. It feels very nice to be appreciated. It's nice for people who want to do these events. They go a long way, and it's nice to feel appreciated." Central Fire Station Captain Tony Reyes echoed those thoughts, but also added the importance of not forgetting those who were affected by last year's shooting. "It's greatly appreciated that the community remembers these things," Reyes said. they want to honor the first responders, but I would like to add that on a day like this, we not forget the families that were affected by such a horrible tragedy. My prayers go out to them because they're reminded of the awful day that happened a year ago. As much as we appreciate the support from the community, I don't want us to forget the families that were affected in a negative way. Follow Michael Bauer on Twitter at OAMICHAELBA. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County total cases, both confirmed and probable, 4,241. Ector County negative, 18,623 out of 23,132 tested, with 268 pending. 70 deaths. Recovered, 3,446. Active, 725. Midland County, 3,272 confirmed cases with 69 deaths. Texas, 610,354 confirmed cases with total Texas deaths, 12,510. U.S. cases, 5,972,356 total confirmed and 182,622 deaths. Find out more at co.ector.tx.us or dshs.state.tx.us or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. Quick hits. Lip sync battle. The Music City Mall has scheduled a lip sync battle benefiting the Odessa Arts. Pick your tune, style yourself, and upload video to odessaarts.org by September 7th. Awards will be presented, $500 MCM shopping spree for first place, $200 shopping spree for second place, and $100 shopping spree for third. There is no entry fee to participate. For official rules, visit odessaarts.org/contests/. United Way Golf Tournament Benefit. AGB has scheduled the 2020 Live United Golf Tournament benefiting United Way of Odessa from 8 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. September 11th at Ratliff Ranch Golf Links, 7500 North Grandview Avenue. 18 holes, shotgun start, $150 per golfer, four-man teams, $600, scramble or best ball, includes green fee, cart, and lunch, mulligans, $10 each, limit 2 per player. 2 flights available. Prizes for closest to the pin and longest drive. Tee times will be assigned on a first-come, first-serve basis. Register and pay online at unitedwayodessa.org. For more information, call 332-0941. Support group. Rays of Hope Children's Grief Center is a community outreach of Hospice of Midland. The center serves children and adolescents aged 4 to 18 years who have experienced a loss due to death, divorce, separation, incarceration, deployment, foster care, or other painful transition. All services are provided free of charge. For more information, call 684-5437. On the net, tinyurl.com/y6rl3xck. From Staff Reports. Local news roundup. Man charged with choking pregnant girlfriend. A 26-year-old man was arrested after he reportedly choked his pregnant girlfriend. Jacob Ray Garza Rodriguez was charged with assault of a family house member by impeding breath, family violence, a third-degree felony, and assault of a pregnant woman, family violence, a third-degree felony. An Odessa Police Department arrest affidavit detailed that at 12:37 p.m. Friday, an officer was dispatched to 5050 Tanglewood Lane at Woodlands Apartments in Odessa because of a disturbance call. The officer reportedly met Betty Lee Rosales, who reportedly had red marks on her neck, which appeared to be created by hands and fingers, and also rug burn marks on her arms. Rosales said she was assaulted by her boyfriend, Garza, after they got into an argument. Rosales said that Garza told her to leave the apartment they had been sharing for multiple months. She said she didn't leave until she got her keys and cell phone, which were on the bed, the affidavit detailed. As she got on the bed to get her keys and phone, Garza reportedly grabbed her and pulled her off the bed. Rosales then called the police, and then Garza grabbed her, threw her on the bed, and began choking her, the affidavit detailed. Rosales said she wasn't able to breathe and that she recently tested herself and was 2 months pregnant. Garza reportedly said he was aware that she was pregnant during the incident. Garza was placed under arrest on Friday, then transported to the Ector County Law Enforcement Center, where he was booked with two $20,000 surety bonds. Jail records show he was released on Monday with an attorney bond. Woman charged with assaulting boyfriend with knife. A 44-year-old woman was arrested after she reportedly attacked her boyfriend and held a pocket knife against his neck. Yolanda Morales Enriquez was charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, family violence, a second-degree felony. An Odessa Police Department affidavit detailed that at 5:48 p.m. Saturday, an officer was dispatched to a disturbance call in the 100 block of Partridge Park in Odessa. The officer reportedly met both Enriquez and Johnny Gonzalez, a man she lived with and had been dating for the past 3 years. Gonzalez reportedly said that the two were in an argument which escalated into violence. He said that he was attacked by Enriquez with a black folding pocket knife and placed it to his neck. Gonzalez reportedly had scratches on his face and neck and a laceration on his right index finger from the knife. A witness reportedly said that they saw Enriquez place the knife to Gonzalez's neck during the altercation. Enriquez was reportedly arrested and transported to the Ector County Law Enforcement Center, where jail records show she has a $30,000 surety bond. OA News at OAOA.com. This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, September 1st, 2020, OAOA.com. Cornyn in Odessa talking anniversary COVID by Ruth Campbell, RCAMPBELL at OAOA.com. Photo, Senator John Cornyn, R. Texas, speaks to a freshman geography class during a visit where he later presented a press conference over CARES Act funding at New Tech Odessa High School on Monday morning. Eli Hartman, Odessa American. Curious about the opening of a school and to mark the year anniversary of the August 31st mass shooting, U.S. Senator John Cornyn visited Odessa Monday. He stopped at George H.W. Bush New Tech Odessa High School to view classes and talk to the teachers, principals, students, and Ector County ISD Superintendent Scott Murray. I think it's obviously very important that all of our students be able to safely continue their education. And in a way, I think everybody's going to be looking at you to see how you are doing. That will give them growing confidence to go on with their lives, taking care with the appropriate precautions, the Texas Republican said. These are very unusual times, I think, for all of us. So Congress has actually passed four different pieces of legislation, mainly for money for research, treatment, and vaccines. Ultimately, we hope to get a vaccine so people can go about their lives knowing that they have some sort of immunity. We're taking it one day at a time. Cornyn said he will return to Washington, D.C. next week to work with his colleagues to try and pass additional legislation to provide additional help across the board. Because we know this is a trying time. A lot of people unfortunately lost their jobs because of concerns about the spread of COVID-19. And so this is a time for a lot of compassion for people who, through no fault of their own, find themselves in a tough spot. But I think, again, your courage, your commitment to continue your education will be a great example. And that can help a lot of students realize that they can safely come back to school and continue their education, Cornyn said. New Tech principal Gerardo Ramirez said they had about 100 students on A days and B days. Today, September 1st, he said he is expecting another 100 students. Ramirez said families were split down the middle on who wanted the hybrid experience and who wanted virtual classes. Students without internet at home, special education students, and those who are children of ECISD staff members were able to attend in person 5 days a week. Gary Dutchover was teaching a freshman world geography class Monday and made it possible for Cornyn to speak to students learning remotely. We don't get that very often, Dutchover said, of having a senator visit, and so it's really important to have someone take their time to come out and visit with all of our learners, with our entire school. I'm really appreciative of it, and I'm happy to see the kids that we have here aren't afraid to ask questions. Cornyn said he has been traveling around Texas talking about some of the things Congress has done and the funds they have been able to direct to public education, health care, and other items. A news release said that so far, Cornyn has worked to secure $8.8 million in funding for public schools in the Midland-Odessa area, including ECISD was allocated $5,457,631. This includes funds for 5,820 iPads for pre-kindergarten through second grade students, 6,000 Chromebooks for 3rd through 12th grade students, and $1.1 million to outfit classrooms with mics to project clear sound to remote learners through teachers' masks. Murray said the pandemic has created a financial quagmire in the state of Texas. He added that the high unemployment rate in Ector County has caused families to struggle. In fact, in Ector County, we have the highest unemployment rate in the state of Texas, and that has hit us in a variety of ways. It affects our moms and dads and families that are unable to provide for all the needs of their children, Murray said. About 39% of families in ECISD have no or inconsistent internet access, and Murray said it's a matter of not having infrastructure in areas like South and West Odessa. We've had to make some significant adjustments. We've had to purchase a significant amount of technology devices for our students to make sure that they were able to access our teachers. We've had to provide broadband access to our students. We've had to procure additional cleaning equipment to make sure our schools are safe. Our teachers and students wear PPE, personal protective equipment, every day, and so the expenses that we've had to endure as a school system have been significant. But thanks to the support of Senator Cornyn and the CARES Act, we've been able to mitigate many of the financial needs that our families have had, that the school district has had, Murray added. Calling it a sobering day, Cornyn's visit also coincided with the August 31st mass shooting that killed 7 people and injured 25. The folks in West Texas are particularly resilient. They've had ups and downs. They've had tough times, but they always seem to come back and hang in there. But the thing we're talking about specifically today is, for example, the CARES Act, which is the principal means by which Congress responded to the COVID-19 virus. We knew we had a number of things we had to do at the same time. One, we needed to fund the research that was going to treatments and potentially, ultimately, end up with a vaccine. That's going to be the gold standard, but it's not here yet. Hopefully by the end of the year. But in the meantime, we had to learn how to adapt, learn how to live with this virus. I just want to congratulate the folks here at New Tech Odessa for taking that to heart. All the students seem to be taking that instruction very seriously, and they're having to learn how to learn through a hybrid means of education, which presents new challenges in and of itself, Cornyn said. He added that internet access is no longer a luxury or a convenience, but a necessity. We know that there have been steps taken to help provide additional access to Wi-Fi or broadband, but a lot of it's going to take infrastructure. That needs to be built, and that's going to take some time to build, but I think whether it's getting access to your school and continuing your education, or getting access to health care, telehealth, both physical and mental health services, that this is no longer just a convenience. It is an absolute necessity. So Congress has already appropriated billions of dollars to that end, and I expect that if we're able to pass another bill to follow the CARES Act in the next few weeks, you'll see an additional financial commitment to broadband. Cornyn said he is more optimistic than he has been in a while about passing another CARES-type act. He said both parties have proposed another bill, but there are differences in terms of the amount and the items included. But we've been on daily conference calls with the Chief of Staff at the White House, Mark Meadows, and Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin. I think you're beginning to see some of the ice thaw, and I'm a little more optimistic now than I have been for a while that we will be able to come up with another bill. We did really well with the CARES Act in late March, Cornyn said, recalling the $3 trillion package. He said that's something he never would have imagined 6 months ago. But we knew it was an emergency. We knew we had to respond. And I hope we'll see that same sort of rallying to the challenge of COVID-19 again, hopefully as early as next week, Cornyn said. Asked about the possibility of universal background checks for gun sales, since it was the anniversary of the August 31st shooting, Cornyn said he is a big supporter of the Second Amendment, but also a big supporter of background checks, which will identify people who are legally disqualified from purchasing firearms. We discovered that problem back in Sutherland Springs. The military had failed to upload derogatory information about the shooter there, which would have demonstrated he could not legally purchase a firearm if he were to go through a background check. Unfortunately, the shooter here in Odessa purchased his firearm from an unlicensed firearms dealer, and law enforcement authorities picked up 29 more weapons from his premises, demonstrating that he was not just some amateur or hobbyist. He was in the business of making and selling firearms, which means he needed to get a federal firearms license. He did not, so I think you'll see once the investigation concludes. I would not be surprised if you see a conviction for violating federal law. But we need to make sure we eliminate unlicensed firearms dealers, which will mean more and more people get background checks because FFLs, as they're called, are required to do those, which I think draws the appropriate line between law-abiding citizens exercising their Second Amendment rights, which I enthusiastically support, and the line between legitimate and illegitimate use by people who are convicted criminals or people with documented mental illness, he said. Hello, this is Kay, reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, September 1st, 2020. Obituaries and death notices. Obituaries. Jason Paul Locke, Odessa. Jason Paul Locke, 54, of Odessa, passed away Thursday, August 27th, 2020, at his residence. He was born January 23rd, 1966, in Lubbock, to Kenneth Dale Locke and the late Ruth Eileen Ball Locke. Jason is survived by his father, Kenneth Locke of McKinney, brother Kyle Locke of Odessa, children Bryce and Kelsey, six grandchildren, and numerous aunts, uncles, and cousins. He is preceded in death by his mother, Eileen Locke. The family will receive friends for visitation on Wednesday, September 2nd, 2020, from 5 to 8 p.m. at Frank Wilson Funeral Directors. Funeral services will be held on Thursday, September 3rd, 2020, at 10 a.m. at the funeral home, with Pastor Terry Wright officiating. Florine Flo Milholland, Granberry. Former longtime Odessan Flo Milholland passed away Saturday, August 29th, 2020, in Granberry, where she has resided since 2013. She was 92. Flo was born December 8, 1927, in Austin, Texas, to Henry and Lena Kramer. In 1948, she married the love of her life, Bill Milholland. After Bill's passing in 2002, Flo remained in Odessa until 2013, when she moved to Granberry to be near family. Flo was preceded in death by her husband, Bill, her son, David, and sisters, Linda, Kay, Dorothy, Roberta, Rose, and Laverne. She is survived by two sons, Gary Milholland and wife Carol of Granberry, and by Tom Milholland and wife Debbie, also of Granberry. Flo is also survived by three grandchildren and four great-grandchildren and many nieces and nephews. Flo will be interred at Sunset Memorial Garden Cemetery in Odessa. Death notices. Sherry Yvonne Pig Ferris, Odessa. Sherry Yvonne Pig Ferris, 59, died Saturday, August 29th, 2020, in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Sarah Frances Waller Henson, Dangerfield. Sarah Frances Waller Henson, 76, died Sunday, August 30th, 2020, in Longview. Services are pending with Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Armando Jimenez, Odessa. Armando Jimenez, 84, died Saturday, August 29th, 2020, in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Olga Trevino Mauricio, Odessa. Olga Trevino Mauricio, 65, died Saturday, August 29th, 2020, in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Masks uncomfortable, not harmful. Dear Dr. Roach, I am an 85-year-old working 20-plus hours a week in retail. I have just returned to work after being furloughed because of the pandemic. My associates and I are required to wear masks, averaging 7 hours daily. We feel as if our breathing is being compromised, as we are breathing in our own air with no outside fresh air. Our masks get damp inside, and some masks show the wearer to be inhaling the fabric itself as they breathe in. Is this safe? Are our lungs safe? Thank you for any reassurance you can offer. P.L. Answer. Wearing a mask for a prolonged time can be uncomfortable, but not dangerous. I have seen a lot of misinformation about supposed dangers of mask wearing, so I am glad you wrote. There is a space between your face and the mask that will be filled with exhaled air. Exhaled air has more carbon dioxide and less oxygen than fresh air. However, the amount of that air is relatively small compared with the amount of air you breathe in, so you get a little exhaled air and a lot of fresh air. The space in your nostrils and upper airways have the same issue. Your lungs will compensate for the mask by breathing just a little deeper without you being consciously aware of it. Surgeons wear face masks for many hours without problems, and numerous recent studies have shown no drop in oxygen levels nor increase in carbon dioxide levels associated with masks. A properly made face mask should not allow the wearer to breathe in fabric. Recent studies have shown a well-fitted homemade mask with multiple layers of quilted cotton is effective, and my own experience tells me they are pretty comfortable. I use them when outside the hospital. Some surgical face masks will start to fray as they age. When this happens, they should be discarded. I don't recommend an N95 mask for routine use by the public. They are significantly less comfortable to wear and are still in short supply in many hard-hit areas of the country. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach. Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write him at P.O. Box 536-475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, September 1st, 2020, etc. Hound is nothing but trouble during vacations. Dear Abby, my daughter and son-in-law's dog, Zeke, is a poor house guest. We have kept him several times while they were vacationing. This last time, a long weekend, was very stressful. Zeke is a hound dog, 58 pounds, and stubborn. He jumps on furniture, jumps up to the kitchen counter and dining table, trying to steal food, urinates in the house, not all the time, but often enough, doesn't want to stay outside in the backyard unless someone is out there with him, and when he is outside alone, he constantly howls. He also chases our cats. Whenever it's muddy in our fenced backyard, he must be taken out to the front yard on a leash, or he will catch a scent and run off. There are also potential sparring matches with our own dog that must be monitored, and at feeding time they have to be separated. Our daughter's last trip was to be for 12 days. We said we didn't want to keep him for that long, but we would continue to keep him for short stays. This has been a sore spot with her ever since. She feels Zeke is our grand dog, and we should keep him anyway. I do not know how to handle this without causing any more bad feelings. Please advise. Above and Beyond in Texas. Dear Above and Beyond, your daughter's dog is too much dog for you to handle and, in addition, poorly trained. He isn't your grand anything. Stand your ground and quit trying to placate your entitled daughter. She should be grateful that you're willing to take responsibility for the dog even for a short time. If that isn't enough for her, bow wow out by refusing to take Zeke at all. He's her dog, and the problem should be hers, not yours. Dear Abby, I am an empathetic person, and because of it, most of my friends and family members share things with me that they are going through in their lives. I feel pain with and for them, and have shed many tears with these people. Most of the time, this is something I am happy to offer. I understand that not everyone has the same level of empathy or the skills to be there when people are going through a rough patch. But right now, I thought it might be good to share some things I have noticed when the roles were reversed and I found myself needing to share with others. One, it's not a competition. Now is not the time to share your similar experience. Let the person sharing just talk and resist the urge to relate your own stories. Two, don't try to offer solutions unless they are asked for. The majority of the time, the person just needs to say it out loud to someone, and then they are able to get their head or heart around it and figure things out. Three, just listen. That's all any of us want. We want to feel heard and important and that we matter. Listening can provide that to the person who is in pain. Abby, thanks for letting me be heard. Even the strongest friends sometimes need someone. Learned from experience. Dear Learned, Amen. Life is about learning and growing. There is much wisdom in your letter and a practical lesson for those who sometimes put their foot in their mouths because they only want to help. Thank you for sharing. Dear Abby, Abigail Van Buren, write Dear Abby at P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069, or visit www.dearabby.com.
Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. A baby born today has a sun in Virgo and a moon in Aquarius until 4:34 a.m., when the moon enters Pisces. Happy birthday for Tuesday, September 1, 2020. Tough, pragmatic, and charming. You're no nonsense about your work. This year, somehow you keep working even when no one else is, and finances are good. You succeed with one project beyond your wildest dreams. If single, you search long and hard for a mental as well as physical connection. If attached, your bond is beautiful and fearless. Cancer is snug as a bug in a rug with you. Domestic bliss. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 4 stars. It's best to work behind the scenes today. Emotionally, you're feeling exceptionally well. You have deep access to your dreams, and psychic experiences might come your way. You gain insight into a matter from the past. Tonight, get a good night's sleep. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 5 stars. Groups and social events are highlighted at work. You have a greater sense of freedom today. You are dealing with new ideas, new options, and originality. Help others, but do things your own way. Your wishes and dreams come true. Tonight, network at a social gathering. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 3 stars. You have a need for a boost in your status. You might feel you are being blocked from achieving that career goal today. It is best to use your energies to focus on a project to improve your bargaining power. Tonight, spend quality time with family. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 3 stars. You dig deep into a mystery at work. Gather information, but don't make any absolute decisions until tomorrow. You work best on your own today. You might be interested in pursuing a new area of study. Tonight, spend valuable time with a child. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 5 stars. It's a good day to promote new ideas. You're versatile and changeable. Be careful not to spread out and diversify too much. Freedom of thought and action is key. A change of scenery would work to your advantage. Tonight, make contact with an old loved one. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 5 stars. You excel working with others today. You're playing the role of visionary. The things that you value in your life become clearer to you. Your sensitivity is highlighted. You might be doing some soul-searching related to relationships. Tonight, date night. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 4 stars. New work opportunities come your way. Your ideas are brilliant, and it is a good time to start a new project with a partner. Look after your health. Women play a particularly prominent role. It is a day for feeding your creative juices. Tonight, early bedtime. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 2 stars. You'd rather be at home than at work today. You feel moody and overly sensitive. Take plenty of breaks from your work. This will help you clear your head and improve your focus when you return. You feel strongly attached to loved ones. Tonight, rest. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 3 stars. Declutter your workspace and try to retreat to a private space for meditation. Emotional issues arise related to your domestic scene. You could be feeling possessive of loved ones. Find a new way to beautify your home scene. Tonight, take a healing bath. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 4 stars. It's a good day for writing and journaling. Your mental abilities are strong, and you have an emotional need to reinvigorate your studies, especially regarding matters of the past. At work, you're attracted to historical or archaeological themes. Tonight, read a great book. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 4 stars. Your mind is on finances today, and despite what's going on, you feel a sense of abundance. You expand your horizons with a new purchase, or new money arrives. You're in a fortunate position, but don't overextend yourself. Tonight, online retail therapy. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 5 stars. You get a fresh start today and plot out a new future for yourself. Be independent and avoid any naysayers. Trust your hunches and approach a higher-up for help and advice. It's a great time for starting something different. Tonight, call up those who owe you favors. Born today, author, TV host Padma Lakshmi, 1970, boxer Rocky Marciano, 1923, comedian Lily Tomlin, 1939.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.